We have a teachable moment about why America's central bank would now want to make sure one of the safest of investments stays safe. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The latest backstop for the U.S. economy given the coronavirus, the Federal Reserve last evening offered emergency loans to what are considered low-risk money market mutual funds. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is on the line. What can we learn from this?
Well, David, money market funds are meant to be liquid. You're supposed to be able to withdraw your money anytime, just like a bank account. They're also designed to be stable. They're not supposed to lose money. You at least get your money back, a dollar in, a dollar out. But there's a term in the money market fund business you may remember, David, breaking the buck. And that's when a money market fund does lose money and you can't get all your money back.
It's not happening now, but it happened during the last financial crisis, right?
It did. A money market fund broke the buck in 2008 because its investments in Lehman Brothers went sour when Lehman went bankrupt. And that caused widespread panic among money market fund investors. The Fed doesn't want that to happen again.
So what the Fed is doing is not putting out a fire now. It's a preventative measure.
Absolutely. The Fed is trying to be sure money market funds have plenty of money. The Fed is backed, by the way, by $10 billion from the Treasury Department. So the idea is to reassure money market fund investors. The Fed also wants to be sure money market funds keep buying corporate bonds, that is short-term debt that companies issue so they can keep operating during the coronavirus crisis.
Nancy, thank you. Now, the president of the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, says her institution will go to any length to help the Eurozone economies hit by the virus. The bank has launched a large, some say huge, emergency package to buy government and company debt across the countries that use the euro currency. Here's the BBC's Monica Miller.
The bank's response to try to stabilize the markets has been to go on a bond-buying spending spree. Europe's central bank announced it'll sweep up $820 billion in bonds. The Bank of Japan offered to buy more than $9 billion worth of government bonds as investors try to raise cash and reduce their risk exposure. Australia's central bank decided to cut its key interest rate to a record low of 0.25% after the U.S. and New Zealand also lowered their rates.
Monica Miller is with our editorial partner at the BBC in London. Markets, stock index futures down now. Dow future down 1.6%. S&P future down 1.5%. NASDAQ future down 0.6%. Another big story, crude oil, which was down 24% for a time yesterday, an 18-year low. It is up 12% this morning to near $23 a barrel. There's a little pressure off U.S. government bonds this morning, pushing the 10-year yield down slightly after it shot upward yesterday. That benchmark interest rate is down at 1.16%. This morning, we will get a weekly snapshot of the number of people signing up for the first time for unemployment benefits. Given the virus, it's an early measure of layoffs. The week before, the first week of March, first-time filings were at near historic lows. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
We've seen multiple signs that layoffs are on the rise. Marriott furloughing tens of thousands of hotel workers. Nevada shuttering casinos. Shipping companies using fewer truck drivers. Joseph Bruzuelas at RSM Consulting says states are now being flooded with requests for unemployment benefits, and we should expect
over the next 2 to 4 weeks, a massive increase in first-time initial jobless claims.
Claims have averaged around 240,000 a week through the good economic times in recent years. And Bruzuelas says once we go over that number,
that will, for all intents and purposes, tell us the onset of a recession has begun.
Unemployment was 3.5% in February, and Ryan Nunn at the Brookings Institution says it's likely to start rising sharply.
If we do get to rates of unemployment like those we saw in the Great Recession, the consequences will be quite bad.
Then unemployment peaked at 10%. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Many of us are still reading, given everything going on, a free downloadable intro economics textbook. It's part of our Econ Extra Credit project, where we revisit basic economics every week. From the chapter on how companies set prices, a word about what is called price discrimination in the age of coronavirus. Price discrimination can be bad, but it's also good, such as when older people get cheap admission to movie theaters, same good or service, different prices for different people. Now, consider eBay now, where sellers are offering packs of toilet paper at inflated prices, given the bare shelves in some stores. Many of these sellers are presumably profit-seeking scalpers who grab the toilet tissue early. When stores can't use some of this price discrimination, when demand surges, because in an emergency we call that price gouging, one consequence is this scalping, a so-called secondary market. Now, some see quote-unquote efficiency in letting stores or scalpers jack up prices for toilet paper to whatever people might be willing to pay, but one of our guides for our reading, Barnard College econ professor Homa Zargami, says you do have to account for income inequality.
Of course, that's revealing something that's already true in markets, which is that your willingness to pay determines whether you're going to get the good to begin with. But what gets lost in a lot of this talk is that the term willingness to pay makes it in some sense sound like we're all starting with the same amount of money. And so our willingness to pay is a good indication of how much we actually want something. And that gets very distorted when you have inequality, because really what willingness to pay is your willingness and ability to pay. And so somebody with much higher income will always be willing to pay more because they're able to pay more.
That's just an excerpt to make room for all this news. Our fuller discussions at marketplace.org. Join us for Econ Extra Credit, where we go back to basics, revisiting key economic themes every week. You can participate as well, especially if you're inside these days looking for things to do. There's a green button prominent on our website. And speaking of apparent scalping, we've been following the brothers in Tennessee who bought up more than 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer, sparking outrage. We see that a third of their hoard has now been turned over to Tennessee authorities to distribute to those in need and also under pressure. The brothers have given away the rest with the help of a local church. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.